Doctor said you got PCOS. Now go on, girl, just lose some weight. Till I took the symptoms into my own hands and reversed them naturally. So I became a dietitian to help my sisters feel the best they've ever felt. Take a step in my direction if you wanna prove them wrong and take control of yourself. Join a sister and a
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the 200th episode, and we have diarrhea.
Oh my god, is that how we're introducing ourselves? C-Duck.
You know what, Ty? Let's keep it real. We're celebrating the 200th episode, sisters. Today, it marks 200 times we've recorded a podcast, never missed a day. I mean, we've done like best of episodes, of course, in between some episodes, but still, never missed a day.
Mm-hmm.
And today comes the day we record it, and me and Talian have a stomach bug, both of us, and...
We're struggling.
We're struggling just a little bit.
But again, we are not going to miss an episode. We never do.
That's right.
And we're here, that's what matters.
Are you okay that I mentioned the D word right now?
Yeah, I guess.
Are you embarrassed?
It's unpleasant. And by the way, it's not ladies and gentlemen. It's mostly ladies listening, and I don't think ladies want to hear about our bowel movements.
I'm sorry.
How dare you?
Should we restart this episode?
No, it's fine.
Want to keep it as is?
It is what it is.
I guess we're keeping it as is, sisters. I apologize. Honestly, we want to take a time right now, 2 minutes, to just thank everybody for listening to our podcast since day one. I think it was just around 2021, maybe late 2020, that we started this podcast, and we just really wanted to make a podcast that showed people our real side, you know, because on Instagram, TikTok, all these social media platforms, all we can do is make like a quick video, right? We make a 10-second video, maybe 30 seconds, but you don't really get to know us. You don't really get to know our methods. You don't get to know the ins and outs of our lives. And I really think that was the whole point of this podcast, not just to give you information every single week, but also to just show you like our real side of things that doesn't get to be shown on social media.
Yeah, it's been really fun. And I feel like this is almost like an audio-based diary for us. I feel like we've shared every milestone, everything that's been going on in these intros, like the first 10 minutes of our podcast. And I mean, I almost want to go back and like listen to old episodes to remember like what was going on in our lives, what we were talking about. Because, you know, it's like we could batch record our podcast and do like a bunch of episodes at once, but we don't do that because we want to do it weekly and we want to update you on what's going on with our lives and really just like make it real and authentic and not just like batch record 12 episodes in the beginning of the quarter and like that's it.
Exactly. Then you wouldn't know what we're doing week to week or like keep you updated on things that are happening.
It's not as fun.
I mean, look at us. We're talking about diarrhea on today's episode. Like, you know exactly what's going on with us today.
What else is going on? Let's tell them something nice.
I mean, so far, as everybody knows, we talked about it recently. We got a house, but nothing has been done to it so far. We're still living with our parents. The house will probably get started to be renovated maybe in a couple months. We're currently in the design phase with the general contractor and the architect designer, just because we need to like tear down some walls, do some engineering. It's not like a simple thing of like, oh, just remove the floors. Like, we're gonna do a couple of things because the house is a little old and needs some stuff. But yeah, just to update y'all, we're still with our parents, but hopefully only for another 6 months or so.
Yes, I'm really eager to move in. But, you know, this Friday we'll start picking out tiles and things like that. And we'll be sure to share about it on Instagram.
Yeah, let's share that on Instagram, yeah. And then before we start with today's episode too, it's going to be too late by the time y'all hear this. But this Saturday, in 2 days, we're going to be at PCOSCon. It's going to be really fun. We're going to be speaking live. And we've been really nervous, not going to lie. Tyen has been pretty nervous. I'm a little bit nervous, but I think it's going to go great.
It's going to go great. You know, we're only talking for 30 minutes. It's not like we're up there all afternoon, you know,
and yeah,
we know what we're saying, so it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, originally, I wanted to record the podcast and post it here so that everyone can listen to it, but it's a little bit too complicated to set up a podcast system at a conference where a bunch of other people are going to be at. So it seems like that's not going to be possible. So sorry about that. For our listeners, are not going to be able to hear that live episode or live podcast. just because of it would be too difficult for us to set up our podcast system and then somebody comes on like literally a minute after us and move it all. So, but still,
it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Anywho, today we're talking about Blue Zones.
Yes.
We saw a show on Netflix, I think, about Blue Zones, and we have opinions and we have learned a few things and we want to share all of that with you.
Yeah.
Some of those lifestyle changes that we can make can kind of apply to people living in Blue Zones too. Like, we get those ideas from them. So
yeah,
we'll be talking all about that.
And by the way, the Netflix show is called Live to 100. And just for anyone who doesn't know what Blue Zones are, and we're going to get into it, Blue Zones are essentially regions or cities around the world where people are known to live longer, healthier lives. Essentially, like, they surpass the average life expectancy of other populations. So they're doing something.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about how those things can apply to PCOS and how you can do the same things to help you, of course, live longer, but also live with less symptoms of PCOS and essentially help you reverse PCOS.
Yeah.
And before we get to that, let's go into our Motivational Monday. These are wins from fellow sisters who are managing their PCOS, reversing symptoms, and showing PCOS.
Who's the boss?
That's right.
So was it last week we had a live workout? This was a message from a sister who did that live workout with us.
Yeah.
She says, I'm so sore from yesterday's live workout in a good way. Hashtag buns of steel. Thanks, Talin and Sirak.
Oh, that's funny. And she's Rebecca. And I remember Rebecca being part of the live last week. So that was so glad she enjoyed it and, you know, feels good.
It really was such a good lower body workout. I was really sore afterwards. All right, next.
Our next win is from Sana. She says, I'm so happy in tears. Cannot thank enough Talin for constant guidance through this page. I finally lost some weight from 158 to 149. It was so hard, but it's getting easy when you see results. Also, see results of Rosemary. My hair looks really healthy. Oh, I think she's saying from Rosemary, her hair starting to look much healthier.
Growing back.
Yeah. And she says, I'm still waiting for my periods, though. I still have to go a long way. I have to be more consistent and make a lot of more changes. Thank you to each and every person in this group. Love you all. Keep at it. Glimpse of what I have been eating. And then she has some pictures. Looks like a protein smoothie for the morning. She has lots of gluten, dairy-free foods. I think she just went grocery shopping and got a lot of different foods that is healing for her. I see this beautiful, beautiful breakfast or maybe lunch. With it looks
eggs,
like
avocado, yeah, salmon,
tomato, maybe
looks delicious. And gluten-free bread.
Yeah, look at her lunch. Looks like she has some rice, some sort of a beef stew. Looks so good.
I love when people post pictures of their meals in the sisterhood like this because then it's like you can see for real, like, what are they eating? What are they doing to get these results? And then it's so much more inspiring. So
yeah,
thank you so much, Sana.
And I also want to say to kind of point out. She said that I'm still waiting for my periods to come. I still have to go a long way. I have to be more consistent and make a lot of more changes. But Sana, I just want to say you're doing amazing. I mean, this is exactly how it goes with PCOS. You want to take small steps that eventually become big steps. You take it one day at a time. And look, you're already seeing amazing results. So big round of applause for Sana and all the sisters who are doing similar things.
Yes. Zinc, vitamin D, magnesium, B12, these are all the vitamins that we're deficient in because of PCOS, and the list grows on.
If there was only a way to get all of these into one supplement bundle without going on a massive online search.
Hello.
What?
Isn't that why we created Metabolism Plus?
Oh, you mean our supplement line that covers all the nutrients and vitamins a woman with PCOS needs in one bundle?
Yes. Sisters, when I was diagnosed with PCOS, I was so overwhelmed with researching all the different supplement companies, and eventually I had a huge collection of bottles in my cabinet that I couldn't even keep up with.
So with that in mind, we created a bundle of four essential supplements that have the fundamental nutrients for women with PCOS, and it's called Metabolism Plus.
Not only does our bundle include omega-3, coenzyme Q10, curcumin, but it even has a multivitamin designed to fill nutrient gaps that are common in women with PCOS.
And what makes it really special is that all of our supplements are NSF certified, which means they are third-party tested for purity and accuracy.
Head over to ovafit.org to order your Metabolism Plus bundle today.
That's ovafit.org.
Okay, stop smelling. The link is in the description.
How dare you?
All right, let's get into it. You know, you told us what blue zones are, Sirak. So let's get into some of the places that are blue zones and like what they are doing in there. Okay. So the first one is Okinawa, Japan. Mm-hmm. They have a diet that's really rich in vegetables. They eat a lot of purple sweet potatoes, tofu, seaweed, also like various fish and lean meats.
I guess that's why it's called, like, sometimes when I go to the grocery store, there's potatoes, sweet potatoes, and it'll say Japanese.
Japanese.
Yeah, so it must be that because they eat a lot there, I'm sure they do a lot of exportation of it. Yeah. Or maybe they have their own, like, specific...
maybe they grow it there.
Yeah.
And they tend to eat fewer calories than many other populations. Apparently, they are known for listening to their hunger cues.
Yeah.
So that's super interesting.
I think you also missed they eat small portions of fish and lean meat.
Yes. Small portions of, you know, protein. Very interesting.
Yeah.
They spend a lot of time gardening, walking, doing work physically. So they make a lot of their food from scratch as well. And that requires a lot of energy. Walking mm-hmm. instead of driving and gardening is really strenuous. They also place a large emphasis on maintaining a close-knit social connection with family and friends. And they have like the sense of community and belonging that contributes to their overall well-being and feeling relaxed and laid back and managing their stress.
Yeah.
They put an emphasis on respecting their elders as well. Mm-hmm. And that promotes intergenerational relationships and supports, you know, the elderly.
Yeah. Let's break this down for a second because our next blue zone is going to be Sardinia, Italy. But let's break down how this blue zone, Okinawa, is like, why are these things like, let's break down why these things can be, might be helpful for living longer and having less symptoms. For example, sure. We forgot to mention too, like many blue zones have lower rates of age related diseases too, like heart disease, cancer, diabetes. Some of these things, women with PCOS are susceptible to, for example, like cardiovascular diseases and diabetes. So I think it's really important to break this down. So for sure, it's been shown too, like when you eat kind of less protein in terms of like when you eat smaller portions of fish, lean meat, it has been shown to be healthier. For example, in America, when you go to a restaurant, you get this huge ribeye. Mm-hmm. It's so much meat, so much like fat. And of course, like if you're eating it once in a while, it's totally fine. But of course, like when you make it a habit sometimes to eat very large proteins like that, mm-hmm. it can be harder for your body to digest and process.
Yes, that can be a lot for your system to process, especially if it's a lot of saturated fats.
Yeah. And then because they spend a lot of time gardening, walking, doing physical work, it's not just that they're making food from scratch, it's also physical activity. You know, I think that's a lot of things that we miss in different cultures is like the consistent amount of physical activity, you know, either gardening, walking long distances. I think like, for example, like in places like here in California, we're just always driving. Mm-hmm. And then you work, school. And then like, do we really have time, you know, to have that like consistent amount of physical activity?
Yeah, I feel like when it comes to gardening, walking, things like this, it's great physical activity, but it's also joyful. Like you're getting a rush of happy hormones and it feels good. And like, I feel like throughout the day, some of us are like work, go to the gym, cook dinner, binge watch a show, like try to enjoy your night because you have to work the next day. And it's just like finding joy throughout the day is really important. Changing things up a little bit, creating boundaries and just making sure that you are happy. You know, that's, I feel like their lifestyle is conducive to that naturally.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on to Sardinia, Italy. So interesting thing, Sardinia has been noted for its significant number of male centenarians. I guess centenarians are people who live 100 years or more. I don't know why I thought it's like when I hear the word centenarian, I think like half horse, half human. That's something else, right? Like centaurian, I think that's what that is.
Okay. So something interesting about people who live in Sardinia, Italy, is that, you know, it contributes to a longer lifespan I mean, something that contributes to their longer lifespan is that they live in a very mountainous area. They're always walking uphill, really utilizing their leg muscles. Mm-hmm. This is something Sirak always talks about.
Yeah, there's a big study that shows that your leg strength and your ability to stand up from the sitting position has a huge effect on your mortality rate. The reason is, as people get older, obviously, I'm sure we've all seen this, maybe our grandmas, our parents, as they get older, it's like more difficult for them to get up and walk consistently. But this is really bad because it causes you mentally to not want to stand up, to not want to be active, and then you become sedentary, and then your body literally breaks down. It realizes that it's no longer moving, it's no longer as active. So you also not just physically break down, but mentally. Your brain will literally mentally get slower, older, and you'll be more prone to certain like mental conditions. So this aspect of them, where they're always walking on mountain terrains or going uphill, it's essentially making their leg muscles stronger, their glutes stronger, quads, everything. So as they get older, that leg strength stays with them. So that means they can get up and walk much easier at the age of 80 or 70 compared to someone, you know, again, here in America, where maybe that's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. They also have a diet that's rich in whole grains, legumes, vegetables, fruits, olive oil. They drink wine in moderation, it says.
Yeah.
Including Cananao wine. And this wine has a lot of flavonoids and antioxidants that contribute to heart health. It's not highly processed. It's not riddled with chemicals. It's hand-picked and pressed wine, which makes it really different than the wine that's grown in the U.S.
Yeah. And just for anyone who's interested, it's spelled Cannonau.
How do we find it? We should order some.
One thing to keep note too, like, because in America we use, where people or companies are allowed to use different kinds of pesticides compared to Italy and Europe, is we don't recommend you buy wine from California or just in general from the United States personally if it's grown here. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of different wineries where it's like totally fine. But just for the sake of like not risking it, buy wines that are from Italy. Buy wines that are from like Europe, where they cannot use the same types of pesticides for their grapes.
Interesting. It's a reason to be bougie. Similar to the Japanese, they have a sense of community, a really strong sense of community and social connections. Mm-hmm. And they also continue to work and remain physical throughout their old age. Like, no one retires. Mm-hmm. They're always moving. Yeah. Until the very end. And I mean, I guess you have to, if you want to go from place to place, and it's mountainous terrain as well. Like, you're constantly like walking up and down. And I mean, if you've been to Italy, you know what we're talking about. Like, there's a lot of up, down, stairs, twisty, turny, like towns and yeah. cities. And whenever I travel, I like get so in shape because of that, because yeah. of their terrain.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I can even see this myself. Like, I look at my dad. My dad is 75 years old, and he is in really great shape. Like, when I'm talking about, like, he is like physically, he looks great. Mm-hmm. He walks. I mean, it's because his whole entire life he's had a physical job, meaning he works in construction. I mean, now he doesn't do like physical construction work. He oversees the team doing it, but like his whole life he's been carrying stuff or helping people or being physically. He also loves to garden, so he's like, his whole life he's been like physical. And I totally see him now, like at 75 years old, he looks like, obviously he looks good, but he's
not overweight.
He's physically really good too. Like, he can get up and walk like with no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By no means does he have like he's not slow at all.
Yeah.
He's agile. It's actually hilarious. He'll like pop up from his seat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, he smokes so much. If he could just stop smoking, he would be even so much healthier. But that's, you know.
So a few other places that are blue zones. This one's really interesting. Loma Linda, California. Right here in the USA.
Yeah.
It's a unique blue zone where Seventh-day Adventists.
Is that a religion? Because I'm not aware of...
I'm not aware either, but I think it's a religion. And they follow a plant-based diet, and they engage in regular physical activity as well. And they have a really strong emphasis on community and family. And so that makes them really consistent with this lifestyle and has turned this area into a blue zone. Sirak is looking up Seventh-day Adventist Church.
No, I'm just curious. Seventh-day Adventist Church is an Adventist Protestant Christian denomination, which is distinguished by its observance of Saturday, the seventh day of the week in the Christian and Hebrew calendar. Okay. So, and they have their own beliefs in terms of like what kind of foods to eat, what kind of things to consume.
Plant-based. So do they eat meat?
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming, that they don't eat meat maybe. I'm not exactly sure.
Can you Google that? Sure. Ask the Googler. Do Seventh-day Adventists eat meat?
So they don't. Okay, I just looked it up. They have a strict code of ethics. They don't smoke or drink alcohol. They recommend a vegetarian diet. Meat is permitted, but only following the biblical commandments on clean and unclean food. Interesting. So I'm assuming they eat a lot less meat, more plant-based, more fiber, of course. So that definitely contributes to it.
Mm. So cool. And they're right here. So the next one is in Costa Rica, Nicoya Peninsula, Costa Rica. And here they boast a diet rich in beans, rice, tropical fruits, along with strong social connections, a sense of purpose. Sounds very carby to me. So I'm assuming that they have a lot of physical activity.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Tropical fruits, beans, rice. Sounds like a PCOS blood sugar roller coaster.
And then our next blue zone is Icaria, Greece. I'm hoping I said that right. Mm. Inhabitants of this Greek island, they consume a Mediterranean diet high in vegetables, olive oil, legumes. They also prioritize daily physical activity and social interaction. So essentially, the Mediterranean diet, as we all know, can be really beneficial, especially for PCOS. It's very high in vegetables and very healthy fats like olive oil, and low in those gluten foods as well, and could be a great diet for you.
Interesting. I mean, it would be nice if we could move to one of these blue zones and just start a whole new life, but that's not very realistic, and we would also end up leaving our community and family. So yeah. That like chops off a huge important piece of the blue zone area. But it's really important for us as women with PCOS to figure out how to apply some of these lifestyle habits into our day-to-day and just like learn from what people in these blue zones are doing, because it's clearly helping with longevity. It's helping with their blood sugar, which is a sign of longevity. And, you know, obviously we can't do every single thing, but maybe there are some lifestyle habits in the blue zones that can apply to us.
Yeah. Let's break it down about what foods are they eating and what kind of lifestyle habits that you can incorporate to help improve your own longevity and your own PCOS symptoms.
Okay.
And just a quick note, since we mentioned in the beginning that this is the 200th episode, if you could please, if you're currently on Apple or Spotify, if you could just for a moment, leave us a review. You know, just to kind of let us know how we're doing. And as if you've been a supporter since the beginning, or maybe you just started listening, if you could leave us a review, a rating, that'd be amazing. That would just be really helpful for us, for the algorithm, and for the 200th episode. It would be awesome. But all right, let's continue on.
Yes. All right. Something I find really interesting about these blue zones is that they eat a whole plant-based diet and sometimes animal protein throughout the month. I remember when I went to Armenia, I stayed in a village for a week and I stayed with villagers, and they didn't eat a lot of meat. Like, I think we had it like once or twice, and their lunch was like stewed green beans with like a lot of olive oil and tomato and healthy fats and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they really don't eat a lot of protein. And when it comes to PCOS, we're constantly emphasizing to eat protein and to eat carbs that contain protein, like beans, lentils, chickpeas. And so one of the reasons why I personally think that this works for them and not for us is because they have such an active lifestyle that promotes insulin sensitivity. And I don't think that given the way that they live their lives, they're living with insulin resistance. And so they don't have like this pressure to think of their like blood sugar and how their food is going to affect it and this and that as much as we do, because we're more susceptible to being insulin resistant. So yeah, I'm thinking, sure, like, is it possible that by adopting some of these elements of the blue zone or just some other elements that help with blood sugar control, eventually could we eat a lower protein diet? I think so. Like, I think there could be a less emphasis on protein if you really like got your insulin resistance under control in the other ways, the other lifestyle factors.
That's a really good point, because you have to also consider that these populations, they grew up with that diet from the get-go, and from the activity levels and so forth, where maybe they don't have to worry about having protein to stabilize your blood sugars, like you said. So
yeah, exactly.
And the other point too is, in none of the blue zones are people consuming a large amount of dairy from cows.
Mm-hmm.
This is super interesting because, as you all know, we're big advocates for trying to see if going dairy-free works for you. And the reason why is dairy contains insulin-like growth factor known as IGF-1. This raises our insulin levels. And when you raise your insulin levels, it can trigger the ovaries to produce more testosterone, which leads to symptoms like facial hair, acne, hair loss, weight gain, and so much more. So clearly, this is not an issue in the blue zones. They do consume dairy, but often it's from goats, and it is fresh, unprocessed. And keep in mind, too, again, I keep saying America because that's where we live, but also America is usually the biggest problem when it comes to foods, the source of foods, and, like, for example, cows, what kind of hormones are they given, steroids, things to essentially help them produce milk all year long versus, you know, just when they're pregnant. And also, we have different types of cows here. There's two types of dairy, A1 and A2. I can't remember exactly which one we have here versus Europe, but essentially, I'm just like, just for the sake of explaining, we have A1 cows, and over there in Europe, they have A2 cows, and essentially the A2 casein is a lot easier to digest and process versus the cows that we have here. The reason we have the other ones here is that those produce more milk. So there's also a difference in the type of cows that we have here in America compared to the ones that there are in Europe.
Super interesting how that works out. And they don't drink a lot of dairy. Or eat a lot of dairy either. Nevertheless, like, even though their dairy is unprocessed and from goats or whatever it is.
Just want to say, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, you were correct. A1 is in the U.S.
Yeah. And then A2 is Europe. But A2 dominates the milk of Jersey and Guernsey cows from the Channel Islands, as well as breeds from southern France and Africa. And then A1 cows are the cow breeds originated in USA, North Europe, and Australia. They are also called as hybrid cows.
Interesting. So,
and it says here, I'm pulling up this study. It says lots of consumers around the world have a poor tolerance for A1 dairy. A2 milk and A2 dairy products can help, as they are generally easier to digest. So straight up from a study I'm looking at. So interesting stuff.
We are just like at a disadvantage when it comes to dairy. One, from having PCOS, because dairy increases androgens, and two, from living in the U.S. and the way it's processed.
Yeah.
So one other thing that they do in these blue zones, they're eating a big breakfast, moderate lunch, and a smaller dinner. This is actually something that Dr. Felix Gersh recommends. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree, because in the morning, you're waking up from a fast, essentially. You didn't eat all night, you were sleeping. And your body is just so insulin sensitive, which is great. Like, what you eat will be burnt. Like, you're ready to eat and metabolize that food, right? So having a big breakfast is actually ideal. You're more insulin sensitive, and it's better for your metabolism. And having a lighter meal at night is great, because then you can have a more restful sleep. Your body isn't busy digesting. You're probably not going to be active after you eat your dinner. So it's better for your blood sugar as well and your metabolism. So this is something that I've personally tried to apply. I don't think I'm doing a good job, actually.
Same.
I don't think I'm doing a good job of this, but I wish I was, because this is correct.
Yeah.
Big savory breakfast, moderate lunch, smaller dinner.
I mean, the reason why is, I'm sure people can relate, is like, you wake up in the morning, you're like kind of in like a rush, or you're like, okay, I have work to do. I have things to do. I'm just going to eat whatever I can eat. Like, obviously, like, something that's good, like a smoothie or something that's like oatmeal protein and like something else. But like, you know, if we did something more like what they're doing, you bigger breakfast, much more calories, and then you eat less and less, it might be better.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have time to eat smoked salmon and like all this for breakfast. I mean, remember
when we were in Europe and
we were eating breakfast.
Like we would go eat breakfast or when we were like family.
Yeah.
There would be this whole like spread of like everything, like different types of breads, different types of proteins everywhere, different types of cheeses, salami. Of course. There's always cheese everywhere in Europe too. But like there was like so much like things that you could eat and consume. And it was, we loved it, like in terms of having all these different options to choose from.
I don't want to do that in the morning. I want to do that at night. I want to be like at the dinner table, light a candle, like end my day with deliciousness.
Yeah. But, especially like you know, if you work out in the evening, you like you get a little bit more hungrier too for dinner. So yeah.
But I will say like one way I try to apply this is by having less carbs at night and more carbs at breakfast than lunch. That's like how I make up for the fact that I'm not fully applying this method.
Yeah. So moving on to their next thing that stands out. And I don't know how this might affect PCOS directly, but they eat meals with their family or friends. So eating with others strengthens bonds, emotional support. And Blue Zones really emphasize how important that is for longevity. Because think about that when you eat by yourself, how quickly you can down a meal and most likely overeat because you're zoning out versus when you're at a dinner table with friends, you're talking and you're like having conversations and you might eat a little bit less or just kind of like pace yourself because you're constantly talking between bites. So it's an interesting point right there.
It's also good for cortisol, like emotional support, stability. It's good for your cortisol regulation.
Yeah. And, you know, as we all know, too, like when you eat while watching TV, it's like people say that's not a good idea because, again, you zone out and you just like eat while you're watching and you kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
Again, I like watching TV when I eat. Okay. So as for what they are eating, here are a few examples of things that I gathered from them. They're eating a handful of nuts every day, which is definitely something that we can do or we are probably already doing. Apparently, those who eat a handful of nuts a day live about 2 years longer than those who don't. It's an interesting study. Wow. They also eat a cup of beans, peas, or lentils every single day. And that's really good because it's high in protein, it's a carb, but it's still good for your blood sugar as well. Mm-hmm. And then apparently one of the number one longevity foods in the world is a cup of beans a day. And it's worth about 4 years of added life expectancy.
Wow.
That's interesting. I mean,
because beans have protein, fiber.
Yeah.
And it's like a combination of the two things you really need.
If you're like eating that instead of rice, I think it's great. Or like in addition to rice.
Yeah.
Also sweet potatoes. They're eating those purple sweet potatoes that we had mentioned. They're a complex carb. They're better for your blood sugar. They have protein. They also have 3 times more anthocyanins, which is an antioxidant, 3 times more than blueberries and 3 times more than the vitamin C than regular sweet potatoes. So those purple sweet potatoes are actually really good for you. If you see them at the grocery store, get them.
For sure. And they include a lot of olive oil, turmeric, whole fruits, whole grains, leafy greens. Again, we're talking about healthy fats. We're talking about turmeric helps with the bringing down inflammation. Mm-hmm. Whole fruits, of course, offer so many different nutrients, fiber, as well as the vitamins that are in there. Whole grains and leafy greens, again, fiber. And then let's move on to daily habits. So just kind of let's go through these. Since we already talked about them, we'll go through them a little bit faster. So getting at least 8 hours of sleep a day. We all know how sleep is crucial for PCOS, and those people in the blue zones, that they have it pretty right. They're sleeping enough, and it's helping them heal, their metabolism, stress, so many things.
They're probably aligned with the circadian rhythm as well, like with the sun and not staring at the TV at night or whatever. They also have a strong sense of purpose, and that really motivates them in life and brings that emotional resilience and support that's really good for your cortisol, as well as building friendships, which is also something that can give you that emotional resilience and, you know, support with your stress management as well.
Yeah. And then, of course, a couple of other things are they live near nature or they visit nature often. They focus on happiness of others. They volunteer a lot. And then, of course, exercising. So how are they exercising? They're moving naturally all day long. So either gardening, walking, doing chores, going up hills. So they're not like reliant on, like, for example, like going to the gym or going to doing things like that, but they're just naturally active because of where they live.
I can't wait to move to our new house because there are more hills in that community, and I'm really excited to walk uphill on my morning walks instead of like flat terrain. And that's why, you know, if you don't have hills in your community, you can go hiking. And that's one way that you can apply this kind of lifestyle for yourself. Of course, you don't have to go every single day, obviously, if it's completely inconvenient, but maybe on a Saturday you go hiking and that's your new routine, you know?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So key takeaways.
What are they?
Before we end the episode, what are some key takeaways that you can make your own mini blue zone, especially if you're in the sisterhood?
Yes. One thing I really think is a key takeaway here is to learn to cook your own meals, because that's how you're going to make sure you're having all these great ingredients in your daily lifestyle, whether it's the nuts, the leafy greens, if you find purple sweet potatoes. Start cooking from home, make your meals from scratch. It's less processed, it's better for you. And we have lots of recipes in the sisterhood that are PCOS friendly that can definitely get you all these nutrients.
Absolutely. And number two is investing time in the community. So we talked about how many of the people in the blue zones, they have strong connections to other people, family, friends. They eat together, they talk together, they talk about their problems. So if you feel alone, pop in there, read through the comments in the sisterhood, chat with sisters, post what you're eating. Doesn't have to be in the sisterhood either. It could be on Instagram. It could be on a different social media platform. It could be different groups. But just remember, when you have other people around you, it doesn't just surround yourself with support on your PCOS journey, but it will also bring others along for accountability. It will reduce stress and much more.
Yes. Sometimes I hop in there just to like review some of the comments and see what's going on. It just makes me feel good to know that people like me with PCOS are in there and talking. And, you know, I feel like there's a big community out there that just gets it. And then the third key takeaway is to swap out those intense workouts if they are not doing it for you, if you're fatigued all the time and you're forcing yourself to go to kickboxing and cycling class, and go on a walk. Walk uphill instead, or lift some weights. If you can't go on a walk uphill, lift some weights so you can build that lower body muscle that will help you with your not only longevity, but also your blood sugar control and insulin resistance.
100%. And then, you know, one thing that we didn't really mention or talk about really is also, I mean, based on like what we've seen, a lot of these blue zones are like smaller communities or like almost like smaller cities. I'm assuming that they don't use the same kind of products that we use in terms of endocrine disruptors, in terms of chemicals that are found in like shampoos or conditioners or different soaps. You know, living in certain areas of the world, large population cities, we're very prone to going to a store and buying, you know, Costco. You buy like basically all these things that are easily accessible but may contain those chemicals that we use on our bodies every single day that can lead to, unfortunately, shorter lifespan. So I feel like that's something that's also not covered here, is that they're not using these endocrine disruptors day to day in some of these cities.
Absolutely. I mean, we are just surrounded by endocrine disruptors, whether it's our makeup, our cleaning supplies, the Tide we use to
wash our things and mattress
and this and that, pollution. Yeah. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but we can do the best we can. We can swap things out one by one as they finish, and we can create that safe haven in our own homes, our mini blue zones.
Absolutely.
Well, sisters, I hope you enjoyed this 200th episode.
Yeah.
And for anyone who has been listening for 200 episodes, we really appreciate you.
Yes.
Whether you've started at the first episode or you're new to our podcast, we are happy to be here talking about PCOS and our lifestyle and just encouraging all our sisters throughout the world that you can create your mini blue zone. You can create your PCOS-friendly lifestyle, reverse your symptoms, and thrive with PCOS.
Absolutely. And remember that we do this, at the end of the day, we do this for you. With all these episodes are meant to give you any information you're looking for in terms of insulin resistance, certain supplements, inflammation. Go through the feed of this podcast if you haven't listened through many of the other episodes yet, and you'll find so many informational topics. So we do it for you. But selfishly, we also kind of, we enjoy doing this ourselves because, again, we get to talk to you guys, talk to y'all and just how we're feeling and what we're currently doing and just kind of speaking more thoroughly about certain topics. So it just helps us to be a little more loose with it and really enjoy. We enjoy doing this every single week and we hope you enjoy it too. And if you do, please, again, if you have the time after this episode to leave a review on the podcast, it makes a huge difference for us, not just for the algorithm, but also like we read those reviews and it really motivates us to, I mean, we'll always keep going, but it's just a great motivator for us. Just read it and know that we're impacting the community with each episode.
Yes. All right, sisters, until next time, thanks so much for listening.
Take care.
Bye. Hey, sisters, just wanted to let you know that all of our podcast episodes have corresponding blog posts that dive deeper into each topic. So head over to PCOSweightloss.org/blog.
Is it slash or is it backslash blog?
I don't know.
I've always heard one or the other.
It's forward slash.
Or slash? Just in case, you can also go to PCOSweightloss.org.